Hey, Love Tribe, welcome to today's show.
Thank you for joining us wherever you are listening. Car, on the beach, maybe, on a nice walk, doing a workout, getting some reps in. I don't know. That's where I listen to my...
Where do you listen to your podcast?
I'm always curious. I'm usually, you name it, I got a podcast on.
You're doing the dishes, you're taking out the trash. Even if it's for like literally 2 minutes, he'll put on a podcast.
I have an addiction. It's definitely a problem that I can't be alone with my thoughts. I must be.
I think we need to do a podcast on that. We need to work on that.
How podcasting is affecting your relationship.
Not in a negative way, no. But like, you know, actually kind of what we're talking about today, like retrospectively, like working on yourself.
Yeah. But what? I don't need to work on. I am working on myself when I listen to podcasts.
That is true.
Getting that information.
That is true.
For the record, I don't listen to our podcasts because that would just be, well, I guess that could be good. Like, listen how we ramble in the pre-show and maybe try to fix that in the next one.
Yeah, I say so.
Well,
anyway,
on today's show, we have a return guest. We have Rachel Dack, and Rachel is a certified therapist and a relationship and dating coach. And she was on single digit episode number 8.
Yeah. And yeah. I think this is 118.
Oh, ooh. Very cool. 100 later.
Yeah.
We did not plan that.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Very cool. Well, anyways, Rachel and Sarah and I dive into how to recover from a breakup and then move forward and find a successful relationship and then be successful in that relationship. And certainly all of you that are listening may not be in the midst of a breakup or having just broken up, but almost certainly at one point in your life, you have had a breakup. And so if that's you, which is probably most of you, you're going to find value in today's episode. There's not, doesn't have to be immediacy to it that you just broke up. And it's such a important thing because we all go through it and it can be hard to figure out and navigate how to get over your ex. Maybe there's blaming or you're blaming them, you're blaming yourself. And there's lots of things that Rachel lays out that'll help you get through it and then almost, not more importantly, but then find a happy relationship.
Yeah. And Rachel mentions, and I really like this, and it's something that I feel like we should always remind ourselves, really in any aspect of our lives, that it's life, or in this situation, she was referring to grief and getting over a breakup is not linear. So it's not going to just improve and that's all that happens. A lot of the times it's one step forward, two steps back, and that's okay. And understanding that and knowing that it's not a perfect process and it's just not going to immediately get better and that's it, I think is something that will help you moving forward and moving on and not being so hard on yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's lots of great stuff in today's show with Rachel. So like I said, whether or not you are just coming off of a bad breakup, there's going to be value in the show today. And as always, we really appreciate you guys listening. And Sarah wants to share something.
We have put together a freebie guide for you guys on just some of the important points to remember that Rachel points at when getting into a new relationship, or things to remember before you get into a new relationship. So we've kind of compiled everything in today's episode so that it's an easy reference for you guys to look at and reference and implement it in your life. So we hope you find that valuable. As always, you can find the link to that freebie in the podcast description, as well as the show notes for today. And the link for today's show notes is idopodcast.com/118.
Yeah, check that out. Sarah has been putting those together. It's easy to listen to the podcast wherever you're listening from, but it sometimes it's hard because you're not sitting there taking notes and you might forget some things and you're like, oh, that's really good. And then you forget about it. So Sarah's been putting together these downloads that are really valuable. Print them out, download them, and implement these things.
And last week, we sent you guys an email, and it was for a survey. We feel that we share a lot with you guys, and we don't know a lot about you. And so we want to know more. We want to be able to create content and give you guys great tools that you guys are actually going to benefit from. So if you haven't taken the survey yet, we would really, really appreciate it. It'll really only help us to provide you guys great information. So if you haven't filled out that survey yet, there is a link in the podcast description for you guys to fill it out on the show notes page. And then also if you go to idopodcast.com/survey, you'll be able to fill it out there. And we have an extra special prize for those of you who do it. So we would really appreciate it.
Yeah, check that out. I want to know where you listen to your podcast.
That's actually not one of the questions,
but we send us an email and let me know. Anyways, very curious if any of you out there have podcast addiction like I do.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you so much for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's show. Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace. Talkspace is the online therapy company that lets you get therapy through your smartphone via text, video, and audio. It's therapy for how we live today. To sign up, visit Talkspace.com/I do to get $30 off your first month. That's Talkspace.com/I do. Hi, Rachel. Thanks so much for joining us back on the show.
Hi, Chase and Sarah. It's so good to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, we were just talking in the pre-show here that you were on episode number 8 in the single digits 3 years ago. It's hard to believe it was so long ago. So we appreciate you coming back on.
I'm happy to be back. It feels like a lifetime ago. It's so funny that I was number 8. So this is definitely very cool to be back. Thank you.
Yeah. And we've given our listeners a little overview of your work and helping people improve their relationships. So why don't you take a minute, tell us about yourself and why you enjoy doing that work?
Well, I'm a licensed psychotherapist and dating and relationship coach, and I truly believe that we can heal the world one person at a time. And this healing occurs by gaining self-acceptance, self-compassion, wholeness, and living a more authentic life. And the cultivation of self-love and self-awareness translates into more positive relationships with ourselves and others, which then in turn gives our lives more meaning. And so we all need to feel loved. You know, we all want to feel loved and have a sense of belonging. However, there's no real instruction manual for how to do this. And something like dating really is a skill. You know, we have to know how to date smart. It takes more than just showing up and going on dates. And so my role is to help people become happier and healthier individuals and confront anything, you know, any internal or unresolved barriers that are in the way of living a happy and healthy life so they can make more intentional choices about how they want to live and the types of partners they want to attract and so on and so forth. So I do a lot of educating and helping people find and create love and healing anything that's in the way, you know, whether it's a core issue or an anxiety or a flawed belief system. So anything that's interfering with this. And so this work really does start within and working on yourself so that you're available to have a happier and healthier relationship.
Well, today's topic that we're going to zero in on is, I'm sure, definitely one that most of our listeners have encountered, even if they're in a happy relationship right now. And some of the tools you're going to give us are going to apply to almost anyone. But we're going to zero in and talk about how to be emotionally available and ready to date after a bad relationship, a bad breakup. And I can imagine I didn't have really too many serious relationships before Sarah and I got together. But the couple that I did, it can be like a roller coaster of emotions, and a lot of them are irrational. And I can just imagine it's an incredibly hard thing. And like I said, my own experience wasn't terrible, but I know, I mean, I have friends that were engaged and then got left, and there's, you know, a wide spectrum. So what, I guess we'll just dive right in. And what is kind of the biggest problem that people face when getting back into a relationship after a bad breakup?
Well, I think one of the biggest mistakes is just not dealing with what's in the past. And so it ends up, of course, keeping you stuck in the present. And, you know, it's just so tempting not to take the time to heal and not to take the time to grieve the loss. But you have to do that to be able to be fully emotionally available again and attract the right person. And so, you know, after a traumatic breakup, or really, you know, any sort of breakup, there is this natural tendency to avoid dealing with it and all those feelings. And so, you know, it can be really tempting to deny or disown or ignore how you're feeling, or maybe you even distract yourself or numb yourself with alcohol or emotional eating or sex or getting attention, dating too quickly, binging, you know, all those sorts of things to avoid. But these avoidance tactics actually become problematic because they keep you unavailable and they keep you from gaining that healthy closure that you're looking for. So this is really about not saying that you're fine when you're not fine. You know, your feelings really do deserve your attention. And you also have to accept the breakup as a factual event so that you can move on. So, you know, a big mistake is just trying to avoid feelings altogether and not processing the breakup. And so that's a, you know, that's a big mistake, and we can get into that more.
Absolutely. And I imagine in this day and age that one of the problems or a barrier can be social media, right? Like, I'm picturing, and when Sarah and I'm dating ourselves a little, but we were almost 10 years ago that we got together. But if you nowadays break up with someone, you're connected to them through, obviously, you know, Facebook and you name it, all the social media. So that's probably, it sounds silly, but the first step is like, maybe unfriend them or don't follow them, so that you're taking the steps to get over it right from a technological perspective.
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate of that. I mean, space is so important, time and space. You know, if you're seeing everything your ex is doing, and if that's popping up on your newsfeed every day and you can't escape it, it's going to be really hard to move on. And that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. That's just the nature of the situation, you know, needing space, needing time, and that's key. And so a lot of people too, you know, they'll sort of wait for their ex to wrap everything up for them in a pretty bow, you know, like, why did this happen? What did this mean? You know, what should we do now? But, you know, a lot of the work I do is helping people gain closure internally. That's, you know, the best way to do it. And if you need help from a professional, there's nothing wrong with that either. But I definitely am a huge advocate for time and space and, you know, cutting ties if you have to. That might mean, you know, in your real life and also your social media life, just so that you really have space to deal with your feelings and get back on track with your own life. Otherwise, it's pretty difficult. Technology has definitely made it harder.
In addition to talking to a therapist, what are some specific exercises our listeners can do to give themselves some space and to work on themselves?
Yeah, so the goal is really to accept how you're feeling and validate your emotions about the breakup and the relationship without any judgment. You know, you have to actually go through these feelings. And so, as I said earlier, it's very tempting to use all these avoidance tactics to skip over, you know, what you're feeling. But unfortunately, you can't do that as hard as you try. Your feelings are going to come out, and you have to grieve the loss before you can welcome in a new relationship without baggage. So, you know, something you can do is acknowledge the pain that you're facing now so that you can heal it permanently instead of just, you know, on a temporary basis. And so, You know, if you're feeling relieved or you're feeling devastated or you're feeling confused, you have to process that part and give yourself a chance to really feel that and process it and acknowledge it. And, you know, just to grieve. And the grief process isn't something that's linear. You know, it can feel like you're going backwards, forwards, roller coaster, you know, you said Chase, all over the place. But to really just acknowledge all the feelings and let yourself go through them without trying to escape them and avoid them. You're allowed to have good days, bad days, everything in between, but acknowledging your feelings and validating them without judgment is how you're going to be able to move forward and be emotionally available again.
I think that statement that grief isn't always linear is such an important thing to remember because, you know, someone can get hard on themselves for still being upset after a couple months or, you know, having feelings still. But like you said, it's not easy. You'll take one step forward and two steps back. And for people to realize that, I think it will really help them accept their feelings to move on.
Exactly. And there's no way that we can say, you know, in X amount of time, you'll be 100% over this. It's just not clear cut like that, you know, but if you do want to get over it, you have to acknowledge it. It has to be a real thing in your life that you give attention to and you process and you gain closure with, because if you avoid it, yeah, sure, in the moment, it's going to seem like you got over it and you're doing fine, you know, and everything's great. And maybe you have a new partner and all of that, but it's not really the healthiest way. And so the grief process is definitely key here.
Yeah. And one thing, like I said, I didn't have many serious relationships, but my last one before Sarah and I met, I realized many years later that I was romanticizing the relationship that, so the breakup, and it wasn't my decision, and it, I took it pretty bad. And Sarah and I met maybe less like 6 months after, and we maybe talked about it like one time, but Sarah's nodding like she remembers. And what I realized, and it took me a while, I'm talking a few years, and this is news to Sarah because we didn't really talk about it after, like as I'm saying this, but I finally realized that, yeah, we had a good time together and with this person I was with, but we met in Australia and we traveled in Australia together. And what I realized was that, yeah, I liked that person and I took the breakup hard, but because I associated our relationship with the experience that was really transformational for me personally, just traveling because it was something I always wanted to do and I continued this day. But anyways, long story short, I associated much of the relationship with like Australia in this different experience. So I imagine a lot of people out there, and that's what I think took me so long to get over the breakup, was not just the personal connection, but like all these exterior things, like that experience and then romanticizing everything. Is that something that's common? I feel like it's got to be something we do looking back.
Yeah, well, your brain connects things and makes associations, you know, it's like, you know, when you're in the car and you hear a song that reminds you of your ex, or, you know, you can't go to a certain restaurant because, you know, you might not see him or her there, but it's going to bring back that memory. And so, you know, it can also be romanticized. It can be something that wants to be avoided altogether. You know, I'm not going to go near this person. I don't want to run into them. I mean, all of that can just be so awkward from a behavioral standpoint, and then also how your mind you know, kind of processes and interprets all this. And so it does look different over time as you get to a healthier place.
You mentioned that there's no specific timeline for each person to move on, but when is it a good time based on someone's feelings for them to move on and start dating again?
So again, I don't have the perfect answer in the middle. time for you, but I can give you some indicators. You know, I think if you're going to show up on dates and you're going to have some other person floating around your mind or an unresolved breakup or missing your ex, you're not going to be present enough to connect to that person sitting across from you. And so before you start dating, you definitely have to assess your own readiness. And this really does entail learning from your breakup and your previous relationship and being willing to participate in self-discovery. And I think, you know, if you're stuck in the past or you have a negative mindset, you're still angry at what happened, you know, your guard is up, you're, you know, you have this tendency to cancel plans, maybe you get a little flaky, you don't really want to invest in somebody else, you're not really thinking about deep emotions, and you just feel very fearful about relationships, you're not ready. You know, this might also look like you're playing games. Maybe you become a serial dater. You sort of reject people who actually treat you well. That's a sign that you're not ready. You know, you should want a partner who treats you well. And if you're going to reject somebody who does, that's a big sign that you're still closed to finding love in the present. And so all these things, you know, they're really just protecting you from being hurt or rejected again. And they really do restrict your ability to connect. So it's important to think about all that before you go out and date. And also what you're looking for. I mean, you're allowed after a breakup when you're ready to date to look for something more casual, or maybe you are ready for the next relationship, you know, something more serious and monogamous. You don't have to do one thing over the other necessarily, but I think it's really important to be aware of what you're looking for and then let that drive your dating behavior. But if you're simply going on dates to distract you from dealing with the emotional pain of your breakup, then unfortunately you're not quite ready.
Yeah. And obviously there's thousands, if not millions of different circumstances and when you're going through this breakup, but I imagine that we've all heard of the rebound, the rebound partner, whatever you want to call it. And like you said, you don't have to, you can start dating again, but with the intention that, like, all right, I'm not looking for a husband or wife right now. I just want to get myself back out there. And I imagine, obviously, you want to be honest with the person you're dating and maybe not lead them on, but is that an okay thing to do too? Just to get yourself back out there, get yourself not necessarily thinking about the past, just as a way to like move forward?
Yes, I think you can pair a behavioral approach. So something like actually, you know, signing up for a dating site or saying yes to a date. So match your behavior with your thoughts. The other part of that, though, is making sure that you really are ready to connect on some level in the present. And so again, it's like if you're going to sit there across the table from this person who actually wants to get to know you, and all you can think about is your ex, no matter how hard you try, it's just not going to go well, you know? And so it's just being very aware of that sort of thing. But I do think at a certain point in time, it is helpful just to kind of, you know, jump out of your comfort zone and sort of make yourself start dating if you do ultimately want a relationship. You know, it's sort of that balance of not being avoidant, but also that balance of not distracting yourself with men or women or sex or drinking or whatever it is. You're sort of using a more holistic, positive approach to heal the past while giving to the present. So it's sort of all of that combined.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, what would you tell someone that is trying to do this and they just cannot stop thinking about their ex? And I know, obviously, talking to a therapist is probably going to be the first and most valuable thing to do to really process what exactly is going on, because there can be a number of things. But besides talking to a therapist, is there any like exercise or thought experiment that they can do to try to process those feelings? Why are you not able to get over your ex, to get that jump started?
Yeah. So writing is something that can be so therapeutic. This is actually something that I've had a bunch of clients do while we're processing the breakup together. And you can write a letter to your ex, or actually a series of letters, but without the intention of actually sending it. So this is a, you know, unfiltered, unedited just kind of like diary venting session, if that makes sense. You're not going to send these letters. This is more of an emotional exercise for you. And so what you can do is just write your ex a letter, again, as if they were going to see it, but they're really not, and get all those feelings out, you know, acknowledge everything. And what's really helpful about this is that you can gauge how you're feeling over time and see that things really do pass. So the things that feel, you know, so painful in one moment, this writing exercise shows you that it actually won't feel so bad over time. So I've had clients do this for a number of weeks in a row. And like, you know, the anger, the pain, the heartache, the devastation, the trauma that comes out in that first letter, or maybe that first few letters, if we were to, you know, do this over a couple month span, it is incredible what comes out. People find gratitude, you know, they're looking for the lessons. They end up even thanking their ex for, you know, the things they learned or the awareness they gained or whatever it is. And they end up making peace. And that's a way to get internal closure. Again, we're not dumping our feelings on anybody else. We're not showing this to our ex. We're not playing the game, you know, the blame game. This is simply an exercise that's very therapeutic for the person who, you know, is grieving the loss of the relationship. So I really like that one. That's something you can do with a therapist. And that's also something you can do, you know, on your own, of course.
Yeah, that's a great exercise. And at the end, do you like burn it up dramatically?
I think that is a thought that a lot of people have. You know, it's been really helpful in therapy too, because it's, if you just let yourself write, and then, you know, I've had clients bring in and share it with me, or maybe they'll email me their letters every week and we sort of discuss them. It's just really a great way to get it off your chest and to acknowledge it. I mean, I think that's the big key thing here, just not to avoid it, because if you avoid it, it's going to keep you stuck and you're going to have a negative mindset and it's going to affect your behavior in the present. So you can say that you want a relationship and that you're ready for love, but if you don't have a healthy mindset and healthy closure around breakups in the past, it's just so hard. You're going to repeat those patterns and all those things over and over again. And so that's why all this is really important.
Yeah, definitely addressing it is going to be key, not trying to avoid these emotions. And so we've kind of talked about how to work your way towards getting over your ex. Now, how would that same person set themselves up to be successful in their next relationship?
So you want to make sure that you're doing a thorough investigation of your beliefs, because your perception is everything and your thoughts shape your behavior. And so that's why a healthy mindset is key to successful dating and keeping the past in the past. So, you know, for example, if your ex cheated on you, you might have developed negative beliefs about men as a species, where you're overgeneralizing. You know, maybe you now believe that all men cheat or all men are untrustworthy. But if that's the way, you know, if that's your mindset, how can anybody ever be good enough for you? How can a man who actually, you know, a good man, a non-cheating man, stand a chance? And so your behavior is going to mirror these beliefs. You know, again, let's pretend the belief is that all men will cheat or all men are untrustworthy. You're going to act in ways that protect you from this. So you're probably going to be pretty closed. And maybe even cold. And so what you really want to do is get familiar with your beliefs and figure out what your patterns are and work to make them healthier. So, you know, another example would be maybe, you know, previous relationships led you to develop this belief that you're not worthy of love. Well, you may end up being, or you may end up attracting partners who treat you poorly. And then maybe you even tolerate all sorts of unhealthy stuff because you actually believe that that's the best you can, right? Because you don't feel good about yourself. And so, you know, it can be a harsh reality and it can be painful to look at all this. I definitely get that. But you're the common denominator in all of your relationships. And if you are carrying around beliefs like this, then you're probably going to be emotionally unavailable yourself. So that, again, we're kind of going back to acknowledgement and adding in an awareness piece about your own beliefs, and also to look at any patterns. And so what is your belief system when it comes to yourself and the world and others? You know, are any of these beliefs getting in the way? And, you know, how do you feel about yourself? And looking at patterns in your relationships. So what do your relationships have in common? You know, are there emerging themes? What sorts of partners do you tend to attract? And who and what are you attracted to? And so if you can take ownership of your own thoughts and feelings and also gain an awareness of your patterns, again, we're not blaming, you know, we're not sitting here blaming our exes or anything like that. We're really being authentic and taking ownership. You're just going to do so much better with your next partner.
And once you've found that next partner or you're starting to date again, when is it a good time to maybe share your values or share the certain expectations of what you want in this new relationship based on what you've learned from your past breakup or your past relationships?
I would start sharing values pretty soon. I mean, I think that's a big word, values, but you know, who are you as a person? What ignites your soul? What gives you passion? What are you looking for? I mean, those are things that you can share pretty early on. I mean, that some of that can even be shared in an online dating profile per se. You know, I think it's really a difference of, am I telling this next person who I am and what I like and what's important to me from a very mindful, empowered way? Or am I just bashing my ex and saying, you know, I don't want you to be a jerk or I don't want you to cheat? So again, the language is very important and the owning of it and taking responsibility. But I think something like values, it is important to be clear. And like we were saying earlier, if you just want something casual or you just want to get yourself out there, but you're not ready for a serious relationship, then that's something I'd be upfront with, you know, upfront about, just so that you're not hurting anybody else or having anybody go into dating you with unrealistic expectations or not being on the same page. So I think all of that can be really positive. You don't have to overshare. You don't have to say, you know, I want to get married and have 3 children on your first date per se. But, you know, I think being clear about values and being authentic in who you are is just so important to setting a healthy foundation at the beginning of dating.
That's what Sarah told me on our first date. We got 1 kid, so now we just need 2 more.
Him in with that.
Well, but it's also, I mean, as we get older, you know, I mean, there's no need to play games. It's just all those silly dating rules. They're supposed to be helpful, but they get people in trouble a lot. So just be real, you know. Again, you don't have to overshare so much. It feels right to say it, then say it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Totally. And Chase was joking. I didn't say that.
But it is a good piece of advice. Like, especially if you're older or if you're like ready to have kids and that's the truth, then yeah, you don't need to be. It's, I guess it's like being really authentic and saying that. Obviously, that's not the opening line or whatever, but. Yeah, if you're like, this is a person you like, and you could bring it up in the conversation for sure.
Yeah, and it's always about putting it in the positive, or at least that's how I think it really works best. So it's not, you know, I don't want to date a jerk. It's, I want to attract a partner who treats me well and makes our relationship a priority, because what you see is what you get. And so even if you don't feel completely ready, and this isn't quite true, you can, even just when you're getting back into dating, you can use a positive affirmation, like something like, I am open and ready to connect. It doesn't have to feel true. You can fake it as much as you need to at the beginning. I mean, this is a research-based technique about rewiring your brain. And so thinking, you know, where do you want your love life to be in 6 months, or where do you want it to be in a year? That's really important. And so let those thoughts guide and your goals guide your actions, so you can make sure that you are being available. And so if you're thoughts are not supporting your goals, your dating goals, then your work is on changing your mindset.
It's so interesting. Many of the things we talk about on this show, whether it's an existing relationship or getting over an ex, involve introspection. And we think of relationship, you think of another person. And it's really about looking within, fixing the, no, I don't want to say fixing, but addressing why you attracted a certain kind of person and you were with someone who wasn't treating you right, and addressing that from within rather than blaming or looking outwardly. I don't want to say it's never okay for someone to be verbally abusive and I'm not using that as an excuse, but just really examining internally, if Sarah and I are having an argument, naturally my first thing might be why is Sarah acting this way and getting upset? But the reality is I'm determining my own reaction and I'm viewing it through my lens, and I may very well be, and more often than not, am the person in the wrong. So rather than pointing the finger in this situation too, when you're trying to get over an ex and then attract someone better or new or, you know, that you deserve, it's looking within and making those changes from within.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it's, there's actually this quote that I love, and it's, we are not in control of what lessons others are here to learn. And it's by Danielle Dolby. And I'm sad to say that I actually don't know a lot about her, who she is, but I love this quote. And I think it really speaks to what you're saying. And, you know, you have to point the arrow inward. It's, we can't control others. You know, we really do have to be very aware of who we are and who we're connecting to. And I think that's something else, you know, brings me back to sort of what can we do post breakup to make it better. It's really getting to know yourself and connecting with yourself again, so that you view yourself in a positive light and you can connect with people in healthy ways. And I think too, you know, the threat of rejection significantly decreases when you accept yourself and you feel worthy. And so this really does come from your own view of yourself and taking accountability and practicing self-love and investing in yourself, you know, all these things, again, just taking ownership of your own life versus playing the blame game, which is never fun because, you know, we cannot control other people, yet we can also teach people how we want to be treated. So it's kind of both of those concepts sort of go together, but we always feel better when we focus on ourselves and our part.
So is there anything else that we might have missed that's a major issue or obstacle for people trying to get over an ex and then get into a successful relationship?
Well, one other thing, I think we talked about, you know, how, let's say if you were cheated on, something like that would affect your thoughts. And I think it's also really important to examine your fears and your fears around relationships, whether or not they were from an ex or a breakup or something like that. But without awareness of your fears, they just have so much power over you and they're bound to hold you back. And you know, so when you do embrace your fears, they actually diminish and they have way less power over you. And so that is another part of dating and another part of self-awareness that you want to get to know. So, you know, what are your fears? You know, what is getting in the way of being open? Is it, you know, that you fear being unlovable or alone or abandoned or rejected or loved, you know, whatever it is, to really gain an awareness about that. And then to tolerate the discomfort and, you know, around that so that you can date anyway, because dating is an emotional risk. So is love. You know, you can't avoid rejection. When you go out and date, it doesn't matter how amazing you are and how worthy you are, you're going to get rejected because we're not what every other person wants, right? And so it's really important to examine those fears and have healthy strategies for dealing with them so that you can look fear in the eye and, you know, leave your comfort zone, because that's really where the magic happens. And that's how people fall in love. You know, you have to be willing to take that risk and to be vulnerable. And so I think that's another piece of it too, just looking at fears and, you know, and believing that you're deserving, believing in love. I mean, that's a big one. I think sometimes love can be this vague concept. It's like sort of something, if you're single, that you know you want, but you don't really have awareness about it. And that might be because you're a little bit more detached or you don't want to get your hopes up, but you have to believe in it to achieve it. And because otherwise you're just going to be cut off from your dating goals. Again, maybe you're going on dates and you're saying yes, but it's just quite, you know, it's not quite enough. So I think that's another piece as well.
Yeah. And these are all great things to examine, even if you're in a relationship, you know, is examining your fears, because just because you're in a relationship, and even if it's a good one, doesn't mean all this goes away. Like we have brains that are always thinking and we have all these inputs. And so examining that, I know I come from a household with divorced parents. And for me, that was just, that's a big thing is when getting married, Sarah and I had been together for 6 years before we got married. And certainly I had a fear of commitment because of that, you know, coming from a divorce household. And it wasn't like a major thing at the front of my mind all the time, but that's just part of who I am. So naturally, I'm going to have that as an input that's going to affect the way I'm relating or dating in real life.
Absolutely. And so just bringing all of that to the surface, whether this is something that you're comfortable doing on your own, or if you do want to talk to a therapist or a mental health professional. But, you know, I feel like I keep going back to this, just kind of being aware and accepting how you're feeling and just, you know, really being present. And I know dating gets so many people down. I know it's not always fun. I definitely get it. But just do the best you can to enjoy the process and try to have fun and just so that, you know, it goes well for you.
Yeah. And last thing before we go to the last thing, love round, I imagine, again, before Sarah and I's time, but now with the dating apps and Tinder, it's so easy to go on dates, and that if you're not doing it, that is just easy. It's almost too easy because it doesn't require any work. And all the stuff we're talking about today requires work. Introspection is not easy to just stop and think about what are your fears? What do you want in a relationship? Instead, you're just swiping left, swiping right, pretty mindlessly. I wouldn't know, but from firsthand, but I imagine that's what it would be like if I was on one of these apps. And so really now more than ever, it's just important to take that pause. There's nothing wrong with going on a lot of dates, being on there, but think about examining, taking the time to implement the tools that you've given us today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's right. It's not just sort of like this dating on autopilot, you know, going through the motions. It takes a lot more than that, and a lot more than getting dates. And so really doing everything you can in your, you know, everything in your power to get to know yourself better and, you know, get rid of any blocks that are interfering with you being present so that you can actually be happy and healthy and attract a great partner. I mean, a lot of this is, yes, it's work. And I know it's so much easier not to do this sort of thing, but this is how you get to that amazing partner. It really is. And so it really is worth it in the end, even though I definitely respect and understand that during all this, it can, you know, it's not always so fun, but I think it's such a huge piece to, you know, to being aligned with your goals and creating the relationship that you're looking for, which I think would make it worth it.
Exactly. It's so worth it. Well, Rachel, you've given us a lot of great stuff here. Now we got to move forward to the lasting love round.
But before we go to the lasting love round, we want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, Talkspace.
I love Talkspace's tagline, therapy for how we live today, because there's really no excuse not to reach out, because we can get audio, video, text messaging with a certified therapist from the comfort of your own home or wherever, and you can do it individually or as a couple, and it really makes it easy to get matched and get therapy, as many of our guests recommend.
Yes, there are thousands of therapists to choose from on Talkspace's website, and they're all certified, licensed, and thoroughly vetted. So if you want to start therapy today with one of our Talkspace therapists, head on over to Talkspace.com/I do to get $30 off your first month. That's Talkspace.com/I do to start today. Talkspace, therapy for how we live today. What is one tool or practice our listeners can use on a daily basis to help improve their relationship?
I would say just to make sure that you're really connecting and practicing kindness and making your relationship a priority, no matter how busy or stressful, you know, life is. And so this really means carving out daily quality time together so that you can really show up for each other and communicate without distractions. And so, you know, putting technology away, unplugging and focusing on being the best partner you can be. And there's this amazing research that's come out that talks a lot about how being kind and generous is hugely related to a relationship being successful. So this is really about connecting to what's important to your partner, even if it doesn't feel important to you, and just showing that you care and being kind by going the extra mile.
And I would like to point out, now that you just said that about being kind and generous, Chase brought me home flowers today.
Aww.
So it was so sweet. And I really did. I felt that, you know, that genuine kindness from him. So it does. Those little things do make a difference.
Oh, I'm smiling for you.
I don't do it nearly as often as I should. So I'll take the credit because it was today and we're recording today. But definitely, and a lot of that's been from this podcast. Sarah and I specifically talked about, you know, what our desires are and how we receive love and the love languages, and Sarah receives them in gifts. And that's just one example of how the work that we do on here, we love it because it helps other people, but it helps our relationship. And that's just one example. So I won't take too much credit for it, like I said, but yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Is there a book or resource you could recommend for listeners who want to improve their relationship?
So I am going to go with two of my favorites from Brené Brown. One is called Daring Greatly, and the other is called The Gifts of Imperfection. These books are not solely geared to couples, but they very much relate to what we've been talking about, you know, having a healthy mindset, being authentic, feeling self-love and self-acceptance. And so there is a relationship aspect to these books, but they also can be applied to our relationships with ourselves. And I just am such a huge Brené Brown fan that those are the books I'm going to go with today.
Excellent. We'll have those on your show notes page at idopodcast.com. We've been married for almost 3 years now, which is, I think, you know, actually, since the last time you were on, it was before we were married. So you can actually give us some real newlywed advice now. So what advice would you give newlyweds?
To be present as your relationship goes through shifts, adjustments, and changes. You know, it's natural for things to change as you settle in together and you're married. And so make sure that you're not freaking out about this. You just enjoy the journey, you know, expect that things are going to change between you. And I think, you know, you're 3 years out, so it's a little different, but there can be a sense of relief and sadness once the wedding is over. But now you have your whole life to create. So just keep focusing on getting to know each other and have fun.
What advice would you give our single listeners looking for a happy relationship?
Okay, this is a big one. Don't wait to begin living until you meet your person. So if you put your whole life on hold and equate your happiness to your relationship status, or, you know, wait to do X, Y, and Z until X, Y, and Z happens, you're only going to feel miserable in the present. So in the meantime, get to know yourself, you know, take care of yourself, create a full life of your own hobbies, goals, interests, passions, and just make things happen for yourself. And so, you know, that might mean you go hiking, or you learn a new skill, or you travel, or take dance lessons. Whatever it is, do it now. And so let the goal of a relationship be an added bonus to your already happy life, not your whole life.
Love that. And that's another one of those things. Don't wait around to make the change. Like, don't wait around expecting love to find you and for you to not to make you happy. Like, if you're doing these things, developing your passions in life, then you're probably going to meet someone on that hike, or rather than if you're at home, or if you're even just on the dating sites, like just trying to find people there. So I like that advice.
Thank you.
Well, this has been an awesome interview. Thank you so much for coming on. We encourage our listeners to listen to your first interview too, which is episode 8. We talk about love at first sight and if it's real. So we'll link to that in the show notes page so that our listeners can check that out. So, but why don't we wrap up and you can tell our listeners where they can find you online and then we'll say goodbye.
Okay, great. Thanks again. You can find me on my website. It's racheldack.com. On there, I also have links to a bunch of different social media pages. So if you're on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that, I'd be happy to connect with you there. And yeah, so just go to my website and you can also read my blog and all that good stuff. So thank you so much, Sarah and Chase. It was so awesome to be back.
Thank you. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode with Rachel. If you want to hear more from her, you can check out episode 8, where we talk about love at first sight and if it's real. And just a few reminders from a couple of the important things we talked about in the pre-show. If you want to download today's freebie, you can visit idopodcast.com/118download. You can just download it right there and it will give you all the tips from today's episode all in one place. So it's an easy reference for you guys to look at and implement into your relationship, or if you're not in a relationship, just to use to better prepare yourself for your next relationship. And the survey, if you guys will do that, we would greatly appreciate it. It means so much to us. We wanted to learn about you and to be able to give you guys the content and the relationship tools that you guys will actually benefit from. So you can fill out that survey at idopodcast.com/survey. The link is also in the show notes and in the podcast description. So we appreciate you guys so much and we'll see you next week.